This is program number 22 of the Does God Exist audio series. John Clayton is your speaker. I want to talk for a while in this presentation about the paranormal. Paranormal is defined in the dictionary as experiences that lie outside the range of normal experience or scientific explanation. If you look on the line, or if you look in most books, you'll find this is a huge, huge area. It involves poltergeists, psychokinesis, reincarnation, clairvoyance, shadow people, spirit photography, the occult, spirits, ESP, UFOs, parapsychology, mediums, demons, miracles, hauntings, psychics, coptids, magic, ghost, Ouija, aura, exorcism, ectoplasm, afterlife, and many times religion. It's kind of interesting to realize that it's important to understand the definition and biblically where this goes and what's involved in this. It's also important to realize that you have to have a very skeptic mind as you look at the subject of paranormal, and you have to make some careful definitions. There's a very interesting story of a incident in the life of Harry Houdini, who was an illusionist. And by the way, I would not put magic and illusionist in the category with these other things, because people like Houdini and most magicians will tell you this is sleight of hand. This is just fun. They have no ulterior motive. They have no spiritual involvement in this. And as a matter of fact, the story of Harry Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle demonstrates that in an incredible way. This was in an article in Scientific American in February 2011 on page 89, and it's really kind of an interesting story. Houdini had invited Doyle to come up for an illusion. He had some balls hanging in a room, and the balls had an ink pad that had been rubbed on the balls, and they could print letters. And as I understand the illusion, he asked Sir Arthur Conan Doyle to go outside and to write a message on a slip of paper and put it in his pocket, which Doyle did. Doyle then came back inside, and Houdini had the balls, any of Doyle's choosing, bump against a writing pad, and the balls wrote what Doyle had written on the slip that he had put in his pocket. And by the way, don't ask me how Houdini did this, but I want you to listen to what Houdini said to Doyle, which is the purpose of me telling you this story. If you want the whole story, I would encourage you to read the Scientific American article. Houdini said to Doyle, "I have devoted a lot of time and thought to this illusion. I won't tell you how it was done, but I can assure you it was pure trickery. I did it by perfectly normal means. I devised it to show you what can be done along these lines. Now, I beg you, Sir Arthur, do not jump to the conclusion that certain things you see are necessarily supernatural or the work of spirits just because you cannot explain them." There's a tendency for people to see something done by somebody that they don't understand and to assume that there was some mystic cause to it. And let me say again, in this discussion, we're not talking about the person who just enjoys magic, or a person who does an illusion and who says, as I just pointed out to you, Houdini said, that there was a simple natural explanation for this. He diffused the possibility of assuming there was some kind of supernatural explanation for it. The alternative to that is someone who uses the type of thing that I just described to make money, to facilitate a religion, or to do something that has moral implications. Historically, the Bible has stood adamantly opposed to that type of use of the paranormal. Exodus 22 and verse 18, "Do not allow a sorceress to live." It was that serious. Deuteronomy 18, beginning with verse 10, "Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead." And you may say to yourself, well, those things aren't all in the same ballpark. I mean, putting your son or your daughter through fire and killing them is a little different than interpreting an omen. Well, the problem was that people who did these things had all of those things in commonality. And you see that repeatedly in Scripture. 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 6. Manasseh sacrificed his sons in fire, practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil. So many of those activities were an indication of deep-seated moral and spiritual problems. And there are countless warnings. I'm going to rattle off a bunch of these. If you find these useful, you can look them up. Micah 5 and verse 12, Galatians 5 and verse 20, Leviticus 20 and verse 27, Isaiah 8 and verse 19, Daniel 2 and verse 27, Exodus 9 and verse 11, Nahum 3 and verse 4, Leviticus 19 verse 31, 2 Kings 21 verse 6, Isaiah 19 verse 3, Exodus 7 verse 11, and then 22, 1 Samuel 15 verse 23, Leviticus 20 verse 6, 2 Kings 23 verse 24, Daniel 2 and verse 10, Exodus 8 verse 7, and again in verse 19. Well, you get the point, right? There are tons and tons of warnings about the paranormal, all of them negative. And let me say one more time, we're not talking about the simple rabbit out of the hat magic trick type of stuff. We're talking about people that practice these things for other purposes rather than just a silly parlor game entertainment. Why? Let me suggest three reasons why I think God is so strongly against the paranormal. Number one, it puts your faith in things other than God. People who are involved in witchcraft, and we run into these people all the time, are not interested in what God has to say about how they should live their lives. They're not interested in the morality taught by Jesus Christ. They're not interested in the kind of service that is done by faith in Christ. You put your faith in things other than God. Number two, it diverts your energy. When people get involved in some of these things, they become so absorbed and so obsessed in it that that's all they ever do. And it's important to understand that we only have so much energy, we only have so much time. And the third thing is that it puts you in the path of dangerous people. I've had some personal experiences with some of these people that are deeply involved in some of these paranormal activities. Some of them were okay, some of them were dangerous. So there are some decent reasons why God has been so strong in encouraging those who believe in Him not to follow that type of pursuit. Are these things real? Well, you have several positions you can take on this. First of all, you can say, yeah, these things were real in the past and they're real today. That's one position. You can say, well, they were real in the past, but they're not real today. Or you can say, this whole thing is a scam, always has been. But the point is that there are several approaches that can be made to this, and we need to find some solutions for these things. Let me suggest some solutions to you to approaching the paranormal. Number one, we need to look for biblical answers. Philippians 2 and verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are free moral agents. We need to individually look at the evidence and deal with the consequences of the things that we choose. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 makes it clear that there are things out there that are beyond the physical, and we've talked about that. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the powers of evil that hold sway in the darkness around us. Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 9, talks about the very same concept and the role of the church in it. And to make clear what is God's way of working out that hidden purpose which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God who created all things by Christ Jesus. Why? So that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places to see the complex wisdom of God's plan being worked out through the church. In accordance with that eternal purpose which runs through all ages and which is now accomplished in Jesus Christ, our Master. God has always opposed the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Why? Because they're destructive. Destructive for the reasons we have already pointed out. And the church has to be a major part of this. Unfortunately, the church has remained isolated many times from this whole question. And that's why we have this discussion involved in what we are doing here. Let me point out to you that there are a number of biblical reasons why we need to oppose the paranormal. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." Now that's important, because what that's saying to us is that these things that many people in the paranormal suggest are unique to them are in fact not unique to them. There is no temptation except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. In the nearly 50 years I've been doing this ministry, I've had every kind of evil spirit cast upon me by witches, by Wiccans, by warlocks, by all kinds of people in the paranormal. Now, first of all, not everybody has had this. No temptation has seized you, but such as is common to man. But secondly, I'm still standing. I'm still vertical. I'm still functional. God, in fact, does not leave us at the mercy of things we cannot oppose. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, "All things work to the good of them that love the Lord." God can take the bad things that happen in life and make good things come from them. 1 John 3 and verse 8 tells us that Jesus came to destroy Satan's work. That's repeated in Colossians 2 and verse 15. Christianity destroys the obsession with things that can be destructive in nature. And we've also pointed out in the past, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way as are we, Hebrews 4 and verse 15. So it's important to understand that if we're going to say these things in the paranormal are real and were real, then Jesus would have been victimized by all these same things, which I've never heard anybody maintain. Let me point out to you also that the Bible tells us about scams and fakes. The idea that not all these things are real is not new. One of the classic examples, and you may want to read this story to see what I'm saying about it, is 1 Samuel 28, beginning with verse 8. This is a story about a lady who was a witch, the witch of Endor. And this is during the time of Saul, and Samuel has passed away. The witch of Endor did seances, and Saul has gotten himself into a mess. God has left him because of his conduct. And he's looking for help in the paranormal. So he goes to the Witch of Endor, and she does her thing. She does this seance. What's interesting about the story is that as she is conducting this seance, the real deal shows up. She's trying to bring Samuel back to the dead in the view of Saul. And Samuel actually shows up, and she freaks out. My Bible says, "She shrieked in terror." Well, I thought she was doing this as her normal routine. I mean, she was in the seance business. Well, she was in the seance business, all right, and the seance business does not involve pulling people back from the dead. That's a scam. And her reaction to it is to scream in terror. In Acts 19, we have the hilarious story of an exorcism. There was a group of people that were called, in the Bible, exorcising Jews. What they were doing is not entirely clear, but there was this man that was out of his head and was believed to have a demon. And in the process of the discussion, and we'll talk about demonology very shortly, not in this particular segment, but we will. In this particular case, the Jews that were the exorcising Jews apparently had put up signs all over town advertising that they were going to take the demons out of this guy. Well, what happens is that the demon says loud and clear, "Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you?" The Bible says these guys went running out of there because he then leaped upon them and started ripping their clothes off, so they left naked and bleeding. Well, we have modern scams. There was a guy named Harold Camping in the year 2011 who predicted a major religious event on May the 28th. And that's just a few years ago, and yet most of us will remember it, because there have always been scams, there have always been fakes, sometimes perhaps just honest misunderstandings. But I would suggest to you that we are also called to use scientific tools to investigate these things. 1 John 4 and verse 1 says, "Do not trust every spirit, my friend, but test the spirits to see if they come from God." And then he tells us how we can do that. You can recognize the Spirit of God by this, that every spirit which confesses Jesus as Christ, who has come in the human form, comes from God. That's the test. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1 says, God's Spirit specifically tells us that in latter times some will desert the faith. Why? Because they continuously give their attention to deceiving spirits and demonic teachings. That's a prophecy of our day and time, and we're seeing it fulfilled. So how do we use the tools available to us? Well, one thing we can do is look at history. Some of you may remember a guy named Erik von Däniken, actually a Danish bartender, who had a series of movies and books, Chariot of the Gods, Worlds in Collusion. And what's interesting is to look at the history of that and what was eventually revealed about it. It turned out he was completely misrepresenting the whole business of alien visitation to the earth. Look at the history of the Amityville horror, where a ghost was inhabiting a house. There were people that lived in the house before the family that had the problem. There were people who lived in the house after the family that had the problem. What is the history? Only they had the problem. In the UFO category, the history of Betty and Barney Hill, who were supposedly abducted by an alien. And look at the history of Betty's mental health and the time she spent in deep psychiatric need. Look at the fact that her husband Barney did not reveal the same thing that she revealed under hypnosis. Look at the history of the situations that we are talking about. That's one way to try every spirit. A second way to try every spirit is to look for human causes. In almost every single case, there are ways in which the human senses can be fooled. And there are natural explanations for most of the things that happen. A friend of mine and I one time went through a haunted castle in Scotland. As a matter of fact, it was one of those deals where they would pay you if you could stay the whole night because they were convinced the ghost would run you out. So every night at a certain time, the ghost would start howling in the castle. And I knew about this, and I had looked at the castle, and I was pretty sure I knew what was causing the howling. You may not know this, but glass is a fluid. It flows just very slowly. And in buildings that have been up for a long time, the glass is thicker at the bottom of the window than it is at the top of the window. And sometimes in a very old building, the glass will flow along enough to leave holes in the glass. So when the wind came up off the ocean and blew through the holes of this ancient castle, it was like blowing over the top of a pop bottle. And I was pretty sure that's what was causing the howling ghost. So when the time came that the ghost started to howl, I had gone up there to see if I could get into the windows, which I could. And by putting cardboard over the windows, I could turn the ghost off and on. Now, that's what I mean by human causes. The eyes can be fooled by reverse images. Sounds can be produced that are different in nature. There are so many ways in which the human senses can be misled or fooled. And the web is full of examples like that. Scams, jokes, hoaxes, things, especially in our day and time, that can be manipulated by using a simple computer. The smallest child can create an illusion that leads to a complete misconception of what is actually taking place. We could spend hours talking about all of those different areas that exist in the paranormal. I have spent a considerable amount of time over the years investigating UFOs, dealing with the claims of paranormal commercial events like the Queen Mary, for example, the castle that I mentioned in Scotland, the Amityville horror, and in all of these cases, it's been fairly easy to demonstrate that these were not anything that had any kind of mystical spiritual connection. They were simply commercial enterprises, observation problems, sometimes jokes, sometimes natural objects that were misunderstood, and sometimes people that just simply, the witness was not reliable. When you have someone who has been smoking dope, they're likely to see all kinds of things, and several UFO situations have been connected with that particular cause. God tells us to stay away from the paranormal. Christians need to stay away from the paranormal. And if you're not a Christian, if you're a person who has been heavily involved in the paranormal, I would suggest to you that you need to look at the evidence that is available, and I can help you with that. I've spent a great deal of time investigating many of the claims, and I don't know them all, obviously. But I do know a large number of them, and I can give you references to people who have studied them in depth. The answer to the struggles of life are not Ouija boards. They're not parapsychology. They're not all of these areas that I listed initially. So things like psychokinesis and clairvoyance and shadow people and aurora and all of these areas that are in the paranormal area are relatively easily explained. But from a religious perspective, there's one more area we need to talk about, and that is the questions of demonology and exorcism. In our next presentation, we'll take a look at that area of the paranormal, which is certainly not the same as the ones we have been talking about in this presentation.